بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my dear brothers and sisters, we come to the third of the fundamentals that I want to talk about, and again we start with the kalima, which is the kalima shahada, أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله. I bear witness that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam is his messenger, his last and final messenger. And and after whom there is no other messenger. So this is the kalima that we believe in. This is the kalima that we have accepted, and which is something that is in our hearts and must be in our actions. Now, as I mentioned to you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned for us, He made salah fard on us. He gave the salah to us as His greatest gift with which we can connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam how it is to be done, and He taught us. The same thing with sawm, with fasting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made fasting fard on us in order to purify us, in order to make us muttaqoon, because all the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are for the muttaqoon. So therefore, fasting is the qualification. It is what will qualify us and make us eligible to receive the mercy and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by making us muttaqoon. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us again as a gift. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the details of it, and He taught us what breaks a fast, what does not break a fast, what must we do if we break a fast, what is the kafara, what can and cannot be done in the state of fasting, and how that is a lesson for us to practice when we are not fasting. All of these are things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned. The third thing which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which is the pillar of Islam, actually the way in the order of the pillars, this one comes after salah, which is zakat. I'm not saying these fundamentals in that order, I'm just saying it as all of them are fundamental, alhamdulillah. With regard to zakat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only made zakat fard, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَآتِيُوا الرَّسُولَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. Allah said, establish salah, pay zakat, and obey the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that you may receive mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With regard to zakat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned and directed clearly to whom zakat is to be paid, who are the people who are eligible for zakat. In the famous ayat of Surah Tawbah, ayah number 60, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, which means as-sadaqat, here it means zakat, are only for the fuqara, the masakeen, those who are employed to collect the funds, if there are such people who are employed to collect zakat, muallafati qulubhum, and to attract the hearts of those who have been inclined towards Islam, and to free captives, which include slaves as well as captives who might be, for example, there are people who are languishing in prison because they don't have the money for bail. So this is, it means those people also, inshallah. And for those in debt, and for the sake of Allah's cause, fi sabilillah, wa ibn sabil, and for the wayfarer, for a traveler who's cut off from everything. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, faridata min Allah, a duty imposed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah is all knower and all wise. Now these are the categories of people to whom zakat is to be paid. But once again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala left it on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he taught him the two very critical things. One is, who is zakat liable on? Who are the people who must pay zakat? Because zakat is not liable on every aqil and baligh, on every person who is intelligent, who has sense, who can distinguish right from wrong, and who is mature, which is the requirement for salah, for example. Zakat is liable on people who have wealth. Now, how is this wealth defined? What is the minimum quantity of wealth that one must have before zakat becomes liable? What we know as the nisab of zakat. What is that? Number one. Number two, this nisab must be calculated on what kind of wealth. So, for example, if a person has a collection of diamonds, is that to be included in nisab? If a person has, you know, he's living in a very palatial house. He lives in a palace. That's his home, which is not, you know, his. It's not something else. It's his home. Is zakat liable on this person because he is living in that palace? A person has an income of $1 million a year. Is zakat liable on him because of his income? And so on. Now, we know the answers to all of this, and I am not going into those answers just now. But the point is that all of this was taught to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us. For example, to say that zakat is not an income tax, it's a wealth tax. Zakat is liable on the funds, and by funds is meant gold, silver, and cash that are in your possession for a period of 12 months. At the end of 12 months, that amount which is in your possession of gold, silver, and cash, not diamonds, not precious stones, and so on. Zakat is liable on that. How much? 2.5%, 1/40th of the value of that. And then, of course, the multiple questions that come up. I'm living in a house, but I also have several other properties which I buy and sell. Is zakat liable on that? I'm a businessman. I have goods in trade. Is zakat liable on that? I'm a farmer. I have got lands. I have got crops. I've got livestock. Is zakat liable on that? And so on and so forth. All that I'm not going into here. But the point I'm making is that this is the beauty of what Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's position is, where he was given this information. As I said again before, Allah could have mentioned all of this in the Quran. Allah did not do that. Allah told Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam what to do, because Allah wants to reinforce the position of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. One very important thing to understand, especially as we are coming into Ramadan, is that zakat, a lot of people pay zakat in Ramadan because of the additional benefit that is associated with doing good works in Ramadan, including charity, including payment of zakat. Nothing wrong with that. But do remember that people are not pythons. They don't eat once in a year. So if you are giving zakat to people, please make sure that even if you need to pay that zakat throughout the year, please pay it throughout the year. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you the reward that He would have given you if you had paid in Ramadan. And say, Allah, I'm doing this in order to help people, in order to earn your pleasure. So give me your pleasure. And inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do that. Number one. Number two. For people who take zakat from others and distribute it on their behalf. Now, we have many organizations practically in every country in the world who collect zakat from their members, from others, may not be necessarily members. The organization is there, they're collecting people's zakat, and they are disbursing it. Now, please understand very clearly that zakat is not general charity. Zakat is not general sadaqah. Zakat is a very specific thing. Zakat is specifically liable on some people, as I mentioned to you, and zakat, the amount is fixed, and zakat is payable only to those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically mentioned in the Quran, which is the fuqara, the masakin, the people who are employed to collect the funds, the people to attract the hearts of those inclined to Islam, to free captives and slaves, for those who are in debt, and fi sabilillah wa bni sabil, and for for the work in the path of Allah, and the wayfarer or the traveler who's cut off from everything. Now, please understand that therefore, if you are an organization or you are running an organization which is collecting people's zakat and disbursing it, there are two things which are absolutely critical for you, without which you will be liable before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah protect you from punishment. First is that the account of the zakat funds must be kept distinct and separate from every other form of charity. The two amounts should not be mixed. You should not take the zakat fund and put it in the same place where you put all the rest of the charity. Zakat funds must be collected and accounted for and kept separately from the funds for other charity. Now, you might have all of them together in a bank account, for example, but your accounting book must show the zakat funds quite distinct and separate from general zakat, sadaqat. Second thing is, spending it, zakat funds can only be spent on the categories that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran. You cannot take zakat funds and just spend them wherever you think money is required and is a good cause. I'm not saying the cause is not good, I'm saying it is not eligible for zakat funds. For example, you have a you are doing some work of general good for whichever community you live in, and so on and so forth. You cannot spend zakat funds for that unless there are special qualifications. So my submission, please, if you are people who are collecting zakat funds, number one, keep that account clear and separate from everything else. Number two, ensure that zakat fund is spent only on those which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned. And if you are in doubt, please refer to your local ulama, to the local muftis that you have, and ask them to advise you whether the money can be spent for whatever it is that you would like to spend it for. I'm not talking about misappropriating of funds. I'm sure people are not doing that, and they should not do that. If they do that, they are constructing their own home in Jahannam. But I'm talking about mismanagement. I mean, misappropriation is one thing, but mismanagement is equally bad. And therefore, if Allah does not forgive us, we will be held accountable. Number two is people who are donating zakat to organizations to disburse on their behalf. Please understand, zakat payment is your personal liability before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, it is your duty to ensure that the organization that you give the money to keeps a separate account of it and disburses it only to those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran. It is your responsibility to assure yourself that this is happening. Go and ask the organization to show you their book of accounts and show how the zakat funds are kept separate from everything else. And ask them, where are you, who are you donating this to, and make sure for yourself that it is happening. Once again, it's not a matter of suspecting anybody. This is your farida. This is your duty. And the reason it's your duty is because if you give money to an organization which is not disbursing it like this, which is putting everything together in one pot and then they are giving it away, as I told you, I'm not talking about anybody stealing anything. I'm saying they're just distributing it to anyone, whoever they think is needy. Please understand, your liability to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not discharged. You are still liable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will be considered as somebody who did not pay his zakat even though you paid it. You do not want to be in that position. So ideally speaking, your zakat, go pay it yourself. That is one of the purposes of zakat disbursement, that the wealthy person must come into actual physical contact, they must see the person in need with their own eyes and see what the problem is, so that the zakat money, they know it is going to the right place. And the hope and the intention is that if I, for example, take my 2.5% and go to a place, to a family which has no food, which has no shelter, which has nothing, then I will end up paying them not 2.5%, 10%, I will end up paying them 10%, 20%, 50% to ensure that they are taken care of. And this is the idea that we get encouraged to do more rather than less. So please understand, if you are an organization who is collecting zakat, keep the account separately, spend it only as Allah ordered. Otherwise, you are liable before Allah. And the person who is giving zakat to organizations to disburse on their behalf, please understand it is your responsibility to ensure that it is being done correctly. I'm not saying police them, I'm not saying go there every day, but make sure that you are giving it to them and that they are properly guided. Is there an alim there? Is there somebody who can guide them? Is that person doing his job? Is he guiding them or not? Are they checking with him? Are they asking him? Who are they asking? What are they doing? All of these are questions that you must ask. And if you are not satisfied, no problem. Don't fight with anybody. Don't give your zakat to them. Give it to whoever. Ideally, as I said, pay it yourself, and if you can't do that, give it to somebody who you are sure of. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.